This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2280. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. Above all, the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded January 30th, Alaska, Argentina, Austria, Brazil, China, Cuba, Germany, India, Indonesia, Iran, Korea North, Laos, Mexico, Myanmar, Netherlands, New Zealand, Switzerland, Thailand, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, from British Columbia, Tony Pavick reports hearing some sweeping tones with a very good signal on 7,000 kHz down to 6995. January 29th at 0317 UT. And he says, based on emails back and forth with others who logged it, we concluded it was HAARP, the Ionospheric Research Transmitter in Alaska. It matched similar past transmissions, and he says, I've sent a reception report to them and am awaiting QSL. Quite by chance, Tuesday, January 28th at 2301 UT, on my BST1 car radio, on 9455, I encountered a DX program in Brazuges called Atividade de Xixe. That's the Rye Relay Hour on WRMI. There was lots of DX news compiled by Arnaldo Sline, including credited to me the Spain schedule for B-24. Before the hour was over, I checked it on remote and was hearing it on the parallel frequency as listed, 7780. Trouble is, neither frequency aims at Brazil, which might be helpful, 9455 to the northwest of Florida and 7780 to the southwest. Austria, as we reported last week, the huge monster shortwave antenna at Mosbrunn was going to be blown up January 23rd, but that was postponed perhaps until January 30th. Meanwhile, there were attempts to prevent this destruction, including a petition campaign at change.org. But following up, a report at kurzwellenradio.wordpress.com says the rotatable shortwave dipole array at Mosbrunn was demolished on Tuesday, that would be January 28th. The Austrian newspaper Der Standard quotes ORS as saying that the removal of all facilities from the site had now been completed. More politely, ORS or OTS is referring to this as being dismantled by means of a precise explosion. Tom, DF5JL, forwarded that news. However, on Wednesday the 29th, Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener says, in contrast to the press release, the dismantling of the shortwave station is not yet complete. Only the rotating antenna of Mosbrunn is gone, according to an email of 29 January from Ernst Franke, who was one of the 2.5 employees at the site. That is, 2 full-time and 1 part-time. One of the few Brazilian shortwave stations still on the air is Radio Voz Missionaria. It's been running 3 frequencies, including 9665 variable. However, I was not hearing any signal from it January 29th at 0655. It used to run all night. There was a carrier on 11750, which could have been them or China. And we also need to check their other frequency just below 5940 with interference from WWCR. Stephen Luce in Houston, Texas, did that, checking remotes in Brasilia and São Paulo around midnight 20 UT, January 30th. And he says no sign of RVM on 5940 or 9665, but was hearing religious Portuguese on 11750 with interference from China on 11740. Ron Howard in California enjoyed hearing live coverage of the New Year's Eve gala from China, that is, Chinese New Year, January 28th, starting around 12 UT, listening via various Asian remote receivers. He was hearing it on CNR1 frequencies, also CNR5, cross-strait radio, CNR7, Voice of the Greater Bay, Zhejiang Radio and TV, that is, Tibet, and PBS Nemengu, Inner Mongolia, possibly later on Qinghai, News Comprehensive Broadcasting. I won't go over the frequencies since it's all over now. At night I often hear wobblers from Cuba interfering with WWL 870 New Orleans or WHL 1040 Des Moines. But Greg Harrison in California reports yet another frequency, using a West Florida remote, 1,000 kilohertz, around 0420 UT, January 27th. And he also heard it 0435, something in Spanish, talk not music, on 1005 kilohertz, where nothing is listed. Also earlier the previous week, a little stronger, under auroral conditions. What could that be? The incompetent Dentro-Cuban jamming command continue to send pulse jamming on frequencies where there is nothing to jam at the time they're doing it, such as in the past week on 5800, 7365, 11860, and 11930. The low-power German station on 3985, 6005, and 6085 had been known as shortwaveservice.com with a website at that name. However, Richard Langley says it now forwards to millingbroadcast.services, and he could not find a shortwave schedule. He was, however, hearing via the remote in Holland, January 24th at 1315, 6085 with the Radio Mi Amigo International in French, 6005 with Radio Slovakia International in German, and English at 1330. So what is the current schedule? Tom, DF5JL, finds it via www.dxc.de, /sws.shtml. It shows shortwave service in Kao on 3985, daily at 17 to 18 UT with SRF Echo der Zeit, and from 18 to 20 UT, Radio Slovakia in German, English, French, and Spanish. 6005 daily is totally Radio Slovakia between 11 and 1630 UT, including English semi-hours at 1130, 1330, and 1500. And 6085 carries nothing but Radio Mi Amigo International between 08 and 18 daily in German, English, and Dutch. Alan Rowe adds, there are occasional restored Radio Andorra archive specials on 3985 and 6005. Now some upcoming programming on another German station, Channel 292, via AER Atlantic 2000 International's next broadcast, Saturday the 8th of February, at 08 on 6070 and 9670. February broadcasts of Texas Radio Shortwave are already starting February 1st at 22 UT on 3955, and on the 2nd at 02 to Eastern North America, 04 to the West, and 13 to Europe, all on 9670, featuring music of Amanda Shires. Oakville's From the Isle of Music, Friday, February 7th at 22 UT on 3955, and UT Saturday the 8th at 18 on 3955 and 9670. That's Cuban jazz from musicians who participated in Havana's Jazz Plaza 2025. And exactly 1 week later, his Uncle Bill's Melting Pot, mainly music from the Bahamas. Joe's Jacob of DX India reminded us about the Republic Day Parade in Delhi, January 26th. However, I confess to viewing it via YouTube since there was a live stream from Indian television after 0430. Quite a visual spectacle. Ron Howard was also monitoring this via remotes on radio, besides the main frequency 15280 in English. One medium wave frequency was in English, Akashvani Kohima on 639. The president of Indonesia was also a guest viewing the parade, and Ron Howard heard reports about that from the Voice of Indonesia, Channel 1, 4755, January 28th at 1300. He was also hearing that broadcast on some previous days, but on January 30th, pleased to hear that Voice of Indonesia had reactivated 3325. That's the Palangkaraya transmitter, heard at 1145 via remote in Western Australia. He says it had been silent since late October or early November, and parallel to 4755. That was in Japanese at 1200, presumably also English at 13. Something's incomplete in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Walt Salmaniv in BC reports both their English broadcasts had dead air without a hint of modulation. That is January 24th at 1530 on 9650, and January 22nd at 1927 on 11880. No doubt via some remote, Zaharis Langis in Greece reports the 11680 transmitter from North Korea has an internal jitter, or should it be called something else, is a long-time problem. Listening to his recording, Ron Howard says, I would call this crackling a series of short, sharp, and harsh noises. While Arthur Posner, New York City, says it is arcing inside the transmitter. Ron Howard had been listening to medium wave 567 from Laos via remote in India, but says there's much better reception via one closer to Laos in Thailand, of course, less interference from India, such as January 29th and 30th before and after midnight UT. Their 7 a.m. chimes went out 2 minutes early with an ID and then the choral national anthem.
เวลา 7 โมงทุ่งซาดลาวแม่นสัญลักษณ์แห่งสาธารณรัฐประชาธิปไตยประชาชนลาวสันติภาพเอกราชประชาธิปไตยเอกภาพวัฒนาถาวร
Toronto in Illinois had an NID in Spanish on 660 kHz. January 30th at 07 until 0822 with fair signals, the ID sounded like Radio Santa Santa Cruz. Ray, VE3ZXC, and David Crawford in Florida say it's likely XECPR, Radio Chan Santa Cruz, in Quintana Roo, Mexico. As does Greg Harrison in California, who says, this thing really gets out. I've heard them on several remotes in the U.S. South. No doubt a regular cheater, using its assigned day power of 30 kilowatts around the clock. XECPR. Love those call letters. It's at the location Felipe Carrillo Puerto in the state of Quintana Roo. With those call letters, their slogan should be, the station that's all heart. Usual to hear Myanmar in the North American evening, but I guess it can happen via Gray Line. David Potter in Gainesville, Florida reports 5915 tentatively several times in the last week or so. The carrier comes on at various times anywhere between 2315 and 2327 UT. Sign on at 2330 with percussive instrumental music interval signal. Audible till at least 2345 and often later a very weak level. And he did hear the very same thing via a remote in Thailand. In the British JS Club, David Morris reports Radio Delta, Netherlands, testing on 9800 Sunday morning, January 26th. Also reported by Roberto Pavanello, Italy, PlayDX, January 25th at 1740 in English. Kari Kallio in Finland says 9800 seems to work well inside Central Europe, where normally 6170 is used. There are 9800 for the Nordic Music Show, the Finnish requests to make sure it's well heard in that area, the main target, perhaps starting at 14 UT like the previous Sunday. But it was postponed until 15 because of Chinese interference. Zaharias Langas in Greece was hearing it at 15:45 on Sunday via remote in Slovenia, a nice S9 signal. And ID at 15:52 with rock music. He says, nice to see a station to be so frequency agile. Via Internet, International Vacuum, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 2280. A non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Moises Cuejoca, formerly of Peru, now of Rigo Park, New York, who sent a U.S. dollar check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. Tanino Marabello reports a slight change in the frequency schedule for Radio New Zealand Pacific as of January 27th. The change from 17675 to 13755 is now scheduled between 0558 and 0559 UT. At 1259 it goes to 7390. Before then it's on 15720 until 2059 17675. Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener forwards an analysis from publicmediaalliance.org. The case for funding Swiss Info, dated 23rd January. The Swiss broadcaster is under threat of having half of its funding cut. What is the case for keeping it? Concerns have been raised from several sectors in Switzerland over a proposal to cut federal funding for international public service broadcasting. The Federal Council has proposed a suite of austerity measures across a range of state services, including removing federal contribution to SRG, SSR's international services, about 18.9 megafrancs. This makes up about half the funding for Swiss international broadcasting, including the 10-language SWI SwissInfo.ch. While it is only half, the broadcasters have been clear that the loss of federal funding would likely mean the end of the services altogether. In a New Year plea to readers, the director of SwissInfo.ch, Larissa Bieler, said it was facing important political decisions that could jeopardize the future of Swiss international broadcasting. How did the Swiss government come to the conclusion that these services no longer deserve support? In a later article, SwissInfo editor-in-chief Mark Livingston said, with growing political instability internationally, plummeting levels of trust in traditional media, and evolution of the wider media landscape, the role of outlets like SwissInfo.ch is only becoming more vital. False or unbalanced information intended to deceive existed long before Trump. Of course, what is new is its sheer scale and the fact that such distortions are unfolding in front of a global audience. SwissInfo says last year it reached around 40 mega people. Of course, we are not talking about shortwave, which Switzerland abolished long ago. John Filiozzi replies, as for SwissInfo, I always thought it was unwise to withdraw from other media in favor of exclusive use of the Internet to disseminate its valuable info. The move to de-emphasize it further seems to bear out my view. It appears easier to dismantle something from one platform than from several. Of course, SwissInfo should be funded to the fullest extent to achieve its important mission. Public service media is under attack almost everywhere with a reemergence of far-right political entities and attitudes. The strategy is to emphasize inevitable faults and imperfections as evidence that public service media fails in its mission. Of course, the intention of the far-right politicians advocating public service media's demise is to supplant it with commercially and government-driven right-wing propaganda. Removing public service media in place since the Second World War also removes the safeguards for independence and promotion of the impartiality objective endemic to the genre. The further guise is that public service media is unfair to right-wing views because it points out flaws in its arguments and fact-finding. Did you know that Thailand has two shortwave broadcasters? In the NASA flash sheet, Ralphus W. Perry in Illinois reports them both, on 9385 Radio Thailand, January 22nd at 12:10. An excellent signal with news in English. And ads at 12:14 for EVA Air and the upcoming Chinese New Year celebrations. Fanfare and YLID at 12:16, saying we broadcast live from FM 88 and online. And the other one is the Bangkok Met Station on 8743 USB. January 21st, a fair signal, but band noise at 1303, with the usual Love Me Tender sound-alike tones interval signal, and a man reading a weather report in English. It was stronger on parallel 6765.1. There was a repeating interval signal at 1306, and a different man read weather in Thai. Richard Langley forwards news from BBC.com that their world service has announced it will cut 130 jobs as part of a plan to save around 6 megapounds in the next financial year. It includes closing posts in the UK and internationally, as well as roles in BBC monitoring. The World Service was given a funding boost by the government, but financial pressures and previous two-year freeze in license fees means the projected total deficit will increase to 492 megapounds for the 2024-25 financial year. In October, ahead of the budget, BBC revealed a raft of cost-saving plans, including axing of in-depth interview show Hard Talk and reducing more than 100 news roles at the broadcaster. Hard Talk, broadcast from Monday to Thursday, is set to shut in March after nearly 3 decades on air. We never hear an ID on the air as KMK282, but that's the call assigned to the auxiliary on 26110 Narrowband FM of KOVR Channel 13 in Stockton, California. It's been fairly active lately. I've heard it several times, but it's never strong enough to achieve full quieting, such as January 22nd at 16:05, January 26th at 15:41, 29th at 16:35, and 30th at 16:22. It carries the audio of their TV channel for the benefit of remote reporters listening for cues. Last week we had some news from Ben Cobb about the continuing attempts to get FCC licenses for shortwave broadcasting with the intentional purpose behind the scenes of conveying financial data encrypted. Now there's much more about this in his own excellent online publication. I suggest you look up Experimental Radio News, Issue 11. It is at experimentalradio.news, including about an HF lawsuit. Until FCC establishes rules for HF data trading service, any such operations have to be licensed as experiments. FCC can and sometimes does restrict experimental stations from routine commercial use. That issue is central to a lawsuit filed by a patent-holding experimental licensee against financial services firms, as seen in October 28th, Financial Times article, Jump Trading, Virtu, and the Hidden Optical Fiber Cable, under an Ohio field. Charles Harlick forwards an article from NeimanLab.org by Kate Wright, January 23rd, What Will Happen to Voice of America in Trump's Second Term? You might look it up. It's NIEMANLAB.org. Among other things, it examines his choice to make Carrie Lake the head of VOA. And there's a related article, What Would Project 2025 Do For or To Journalism? Rick Barton in Arizona says, I've used VOA for years as one source of global news. Since Caligula got sworn in, VOA on Instagram looks more and more like a celebration of the works and wonders of the great leader. There is still world news, but it's now half grump news. Another point of discussion in the World of Radio group is Whither VOA editorial. Richard Langley says, I have not come across one in a while. Are they aired either on shortwave or on the global English streaming channel? Bill Tilford replies, I can't speak to the shortwave broadcast, but they are cracking away on the website. It's editorials.voa.gov. And it looks like there are 3, 4, or even 5 different ones per day, including one recently in Burmese. Dan Robinson explains, in 2020, VOA editorials became a flashpoint when the first Trump-chosen CEO of USAGM, Michael Pack, attempted to move them to the front page of VOA's English website. He was derided and condemned for this, though the VOA charter requires presenting different points of view on a wide variety of issues, editorials expressing the policies of the U.S. government, and essays on American ideals and institutions. Eventually, the editorials were stuck back on their own page, where they are now. The number two transmitter of WTWW had been off the air since January 7th, but I was pleased to hear it once again finally on UT January 30th at 0125 on 5085. George McClintock explains, "If nothing goes wrong again, your program will air on Friday night, that is UT Saturday at 0400. Their other frequency, 9475, is still up in the air while fighting other transmitter problems." Since CBS dispensed with 60 Minutes again for yet another stupid ballgame, we were clear to hear Le Show with Harry Shearer via WBCQ 7490 and stream UT Monday, January 27th at midnight. Toward the end, Harry coined a much-needed neologism for the next quadri year, in case any president should also be a convicted felon, Felodent. January 30th at 1625 in the next few hours, I had a strong and steady open carrier on 15610. Could it be WEWN making a comeback? It's been off the air for almost a year. I soon got a reply from Glenn Tapley. Yes, it is WEWN. You should also notice soon 12050, but no definite ETA. Ben Cobb refers us to an obituary for a mentor of his, Jerry Landsman, who died in South Africa at 82. He was a trailblazer in community broadcasting. You can read it at current.org. In 1962, Landsman worked with Lorenzo Milam, another central figure in early community radio, to start Seattle's KRAB, one of the first listener-supported radio stations. And they went on to launch KDNA in St. Louis and KBOO in Portland, Oregon. Keeping track of Radio Vanuatu, Ron Howard reports on January 24th, at 0658, they stayed on 9960 instead of switching to 3945. And Zaharias Langus says they were still on 9960 at 0939. Then on January 26th, I was still hearing 9960 as late as 0754. On January 27th, Ron Howard says 9960 at 0718. January 29th, I had a better signal than usual at 0657, but they were off by 0729. Then an ID from Levy P. Iverson via remote in Norway on 12040. January 27th until 1556, with continuous bluegrass music. I would guess a low-power European or pirate. The propagation outlook from SWPC, ANKNC's mostly above 5 and 2, peaking at 20 and 5 on February 2nd and 13th, and at least 10 and 3 most other dates. Solar flux rising from 145 February 1st to 165 on the 3rd and 5th. Down to 140 by February 10th to 14th, and up to 170 by the 21st. For much more info, you're invited to consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 2280 with a standard disclaimer.